Kellogg. Newtown, Tasmania, December 1st, 1895. Dr. Kellogg Sanitarium, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear brother, every institution that bears the name Seventh-day Adventist is to be to the world as Joseph was in Egypt, and as Daniel and his fellows were in Babylon. As in the providence of God these chosen ones were taken captive, it was to carry to heathen nations the distinguishing characteristics of their religion. They were to be representatives of God in our world. They were never for one moment to compromise with the idolatrous nations, but were to bear their religious sentiments as a special honor conferred upon them, to bear the name of the worshippers of the God who created the heavens and the earth. These youth who honored the Lord honored. These youth who stood firm as a rock to principle were in vital connection with God and acknowledged God in all their ways. God was their wisdom. God gave them understanding and knowledge. Now, Dr. Kellogg, you have stood nobly for the faith once delivered to the saints, and you will be tested and tried as you have been, only more sorely. There was a figure or symbol presented to me. The remnant people of God were to glorify his name under the proclamation of the last message of mercy, the last message of warning, the last invitation to be given to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord has himself wrought through human agents to fulfill the symbolical prophecies. He has made sacred and eternal truth to stand amid the heresies and delusions that Christ declared should exist in the last days. The only way God's people can fulfill the expectation of God is by being representatives of the present truth for this time. There are to be decided efforts made for unbelievers. You are situated where you can be a representative of the truth. Keep close to the great teacher. I saw you holding the banner on which was written, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Revelation 14, verse 12. Several men, those with whom you are connected in the sanitarium, were presenting to you a banner with another inscription upon it. And you were letting loose the banner of Seventh-day Adventists and were reaching out to grasp the banner presented to you. One approached you with great dignity and with earnest words said, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter 2, verse 7 to 9. Your hand firmly grasped the true banner. These encouraging words were spoken. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white linen, clean and white, for the white linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, verse 7, 8. I have many things to write, but cannot do this now, for I am exhausted and can only trace a few words. I was shown that you were in danger of seeking for large patronage in hiding the principles of our faith, which are now to be firmly represented. One jot, one tittle in this line, in the place of extending the influence of the truth, will diminish its advance. God is to be recognized in the people calling themselves Seventh-day Adventists. The truth has, to the honor of God, been represented before the world with convincing power, and God will accept no less of you at the sanitarium, but far more. You, with your associates, are to labor on in faith and firmness to ensure further progress and to prevent decline. There must be no narrowing down, but there must be a widening of the base of operations. More zeal, more faith, more influence, more prayers, and more active, whole-spirited workers are needed. Bear in mind that you are laboring for time and for eternity. Every day the heavenly agencies are commissioned to work with your efforts to make conquest of souls. While your efforts should be increased to make advance in different localities, there must be no blanketing of our faith. Truth must come to the souls ready to perish, and if it is any way blanketed or hidden, God is dishonored, and the blood of souls will be upon our garments.
The Lord God of Heaven has been moving upon souls to seek for relief at the sanitarium in Battle Creek, and the Lord will require that everything connected with the health institution shall be all that the Word of God requires. The more you lean your helpless soul upon God, the more you make Him your trust, the more hungry and thirsty will you become for the bread of life. You need a pilot with you constantly, else you will in some way become shipwrecked. Satan is making every effort to turn you aside. God has strengthened you, and His name and His truth must sanctify. You cannot but understand your peril. The Lord is pleased that a house should be built, to be dedicated to Him for the purpose of giving to all who shall visit the sanitarium an opportunity of hearing the gospel for themselves, hearing the truth as it is in Jesus. While the truth is preached, the precious gospel is to be presented, not in a weak, diluted style, but in strong, earnest accents. As the subject of vital godliness is made essential for salvation, the peculiarities of our faith will appear, distinguishing us from the world, and yet no tirade will be made against the doctrines held by others. In our association with worldlings, the Spirit of Christ in true modesty and the true Christian principles lived by those who know the truth will be a recommendation to our faith. The sanitarium is a broad missionary field. Your medical students, in studying the Word of God diligently, are far better prepared for all other studies, for enlightenment comes always with an earnest study of the Word. Let it be understood by medical missionaries that the better acquainted they become with God and Jesus Christ whom He hath sent, and the better acquainted they become with Bible history, the better qualified they will be to do their work. The students in the college at Battle Creek need to aspire to higher knowledge, and nothing can give them a knowledge of all lessons and a retentive memory like the searching of the Scriptures. Let there be genuine discipline in study. There should be a most humble, prayerful longing of soul to know the truth. If there are unbelievers who choose to join your medical missionary class, whom you judge would not be a teacher to the other students to draw them away from the truth, receive them. Give them a chance. Some of your best missionaries may come from this class. They have never heard the truth, and with an influence around them on every side that reveals the spirit of the Master and the truth, some will be won to the truth. In the studies, there should be no concealing of one principle of Bible truth. But if taking in persons not of our faith will lead to silence upon the great themes which concern in a special manner and which need to be kept ever before the mind, do not sacrifice principle or abate the distinct characteristics of our faith to add these students to your class. There should be most faithful teachers who strive to make the students understand their lessons, not by explaining everything themselves, but by letting the students explain thoroughly every passage which they read. Let the inquiring minds of the students be respected. Treat their inquiries with respect. To skim over the surface of the word will do little good. Thoughtful investigation and earnest, taxing study is required in order to comprehend it. There are truths in the word which are, like veins of precious ore, concealed beneath the surface. By digging for them as the man digs for gold and silver, the hidden treasures are discovered. Be sure that the evidence of the truth is in the scripture itself. One scripture is the key to unlock other scriptures. The rich and hidden meaning is unfolded by the Holy Spirit of God, making plain the word to our understanding. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. The word is the great lesson book for the students in our schools. The Bible teaches the whole will of God concerning the sons and daughters of Adam. The Bible is the rule of life, teaching us of the character we must form for the future immortal life. Our faith, our practice may make us living epistles, known and read of all men. Men need not the dim light of tradition and custom to make the scriptures comprehensible. It is just as sensible to suppose that the sun, shining in the heavens at noonday, needs the glimmerings of the torchlight of earth to increase its glory. The fables, or the utterances of priests or of ministers, are not needed to save the student from error. Consult the divine oracle, and you have light. In the Bible, every duty is made plain. Every lesson given is comprehensible, able to fit men with a preparation for eternal life.
The gift of Christ and the pitch of the Holy Spirit reveal to us the Father and the Son. The Word is exactly adapted to make men and women and youth wise unto salvation. In the Word is the science of salvation plainly revealed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16-17. Search the Scripture, for herein is the counsel of God, the voice of God speaking to the soul. John 5, verse 39.